want to read tonight Isaiah chapter 53, some verses describing the suffering of the Messiah and his victory, and then the last seven phrases of Jesus from the cross, and then preach about Peter and Paul and how they preached about the cross in their ministries and how the message of the cross changed their lives. These two people, one a fisherman, one a scholar, very different, but both knelt before the cross and knew the cross was the only thing that could put them right with God. So quite a message for us as a variety of people gather to worship God. Isaiah chapter 53, a few verses. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. The will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Then seven phrases that Jesus said from the cross, about half of which were prayers. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. To the thief next to him, he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. To Mary, he said, woman, behold your son. He prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said, I thirst. He said, it is finished. And he prayed, into your hands I commit my spirit. Amen. I want to preach about the grace and truth of the cross. The Apostle John, very close to Jesus, said Jesus was full of grace and truth. And so Jesus' work of salvation is full of grace and truth also. And along with Rachel's testimony, we'll have testimonies from the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul. And I wanted to include also words of some hymns that honor Jesus for his sacrifice at the cross. The Apostle Peter confronts us in a lot of his sermons and writings with our personal responsibility for the cross. Not just the death of the Messiah, but something about our lives had everything to do with Jesus dying in our place. And Jesus hits us with the truth, my sin cost Jesus his life. The main theme of the Bible. It's the glorious substitution of Christ for us. We who were guilty did not take the punishment. Jesus took the punishment. So he died in our place. And our personal responsibility for the cross makes us grieve to this day as believers. I think we're probably the only ones who do so. If you don't know the Lord, you're sad about the cross. You're sad that this man died. But if you know the Lord, you know that it was our rebellion against God that was the main drive for Jesus to die in our place. And so we grieve, not only because our sin brings death to us, but because our sin stabs at others, brings grief to the Holy Spirit, and pierces Jesus in a fatal way on Good Friday. So Peter preaches these words in Acts chapter 2, first sermon. He said, God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And the Bible says when the people heard those words or that message, as a long message that he preached, the Bible says the people were cut to the heart. And that's a really good response, I think, a healthy response to the cross of Christ or to Good Friday. We are cut to the heart when we realize that we have a part in the death of Jesus. It's like the Holy Spirit is in the witness stand through the Bible and through Peter, and the judge asks the Holy Spirit, is the one guilty of killing Jesus present in the room? And the Holy Spirit says, yes, Your Honor, they are. And the judge says, could you point them out for the court? And the Holy Spirit, in his very direct way, bringing a conviction of sin, says, there, and there, and there, and there. And so the judge says, let it be noted in the court that the members of Norwin Alliance Church have been pointed out as guilty of the death of Jesus. So God would say to us, do you, the defendants, have anything to say on your behalf in regards to this accusation? And of course, we are silent. And so the judge says, let it be noted that the members of Norwin Alliance Church agree with the Holy Spirit that it was our sin that was responsible for the death of Jesus. Peter continues to preach that type of message in Acts chapter 3. He said to the people, you killed the author of life. Okay, now when he was preaching that, not everybody in that crowd was at the cross. But again, pointing to our own sin that would be laid upon Jesus. In Acts chapter 5, the Sanhedrin and the priests, who were really sold out in a religious way to follow God, more outwardly than inwardly, they got defensive when Peter was talking about the cross so much, and the Sanhedrin and the high priest said this, you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. And how often, you know, we would say the same. You know, wait a minute. Don't try to make me guilty of the death of the Son of God. I've done many wrong things in my life, and lied and stole and didn't honor God and so on, but the death of Jesus itself. So they said, well, Peter, why are you keep doing that? And Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. And so Jesus, out of love, gives his life on our behalf. And the responsibility of the believer for the death of Jesus is all throughout Scripture, but also in many of the songs that we sing. John Wesley, died he for me who caused his pain, for me who pursued him to death. So Charles Wesley, John Wesley, he's saying, you know, I pursued Jesus to death and I caused his pain. How could it be that you, my God, should die for me? We just sang from Isaac Watts, was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree. In other words, it was my sin, my crimes. Another hymn says, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior. In an amazing act of sacrifice, the Bible would say, well, people might die for a good person. You know, that's a noble thing to do. But God demonstrates his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So knowing our responsibility for the death of Christ, I think, does a number of things for us. Helps us be in awe of Christ and his cross. Forever makes us grateful that he would do such a thing for such undeserving sinners. The painter Rembrandt, when he painted a picture of himself, did so help. He was helping to raise the cross, symbolic of his own sin, killing the Lord at that point. There was an evangelist named Becky Pippert years ago who was trying to help a gal who felt very, very guilty about an incident in her life, and she just couldn't get over her guilt. And Becky Pippert took a risk and said, that was a bad thing you did, but you did something much worse than the thing you feel guilty about. And the girl said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, you along with me, we're guilty of killing the Son of God. And you might say, well, that was kind of a harsh thing to say. But it kind of opened up the gal's eyes to the mercy of God, the grace of God, that in spite of what we did, he, of course, prays, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So even our sin against Christ, he calls out for forgiveness on our behalf. And I think, too, knowing our responsibility for the death of Jesus gives us a really good ministry to our fellow sinners. And, whatever sin we encounter in the world, we can't encounter any sin that we would say, no, now that's totally disgusting. That's just the worst thing I've ever heard of, and I can't possibly relate to that. And I think that person, is a hopeless case. Because if we're responsible for the death of Jesus, anything else is not as severe in terms of the offense that we have against God or even people around us have against God. So the death of Jesus, we meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And by his stripes we are healed. And in spite of our responsibility for the death of Jesus, we have to say this along with Peter, because Peter, every time he said, well, you're guilty of the death of Jesus, he would also talk about the plan of God, knowing that nobody took Jesus' life away from him. It wasn't that Jesus was like a weak Messiah and said, oh no, here comes everybody and they're just going to kill me. But he says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. So in spite of our evil intent, Christ was under control of the whole plan. And we're glad that it was an expression of love. He took the wrath of God on himself so that we can know salvation. So that's the Apostle Peter. How about the Apostle Paul? He promotes the cross of Christ probably most frequently of all the apostles. He was so radically changed by the Lord's love for him. And he knew that Jesus died in his place. And Paul recognized that only the goodness of God could come from the cross to Paul. And Rachel hit this in her testimony. Paul was such a religious man who was fervent for God. But when he met Christ and thought of the cross, Paul knew that he could take all his good works and all his obedience and all his times of worship and all his prayers, and all that would not add 1 ounce to his salvation compared to the greatness of the one act of Jesus on the cross on his behalf. And that's something for us to recognize as people who want to put into practice our faith. We could be 100% obedient from this point to the point we die, and all that doesn't increase the power or the sufficiency of the cross of Christ. He did it all for us. And all that we do for him is a thank you, a well-deserved thank you to the Lord. And it doesn't get any merit for our salvation whatsoever. It's a good praise to God that's the case. As the old preacher said, the only thing we contribute to our salvation is the nails in Jesus' hands and feet. That's what we contribute to our salvation. So the cross glorifies Christ, shows him to be the great bringer of substitution in our place. And also, it lets us know that if we looked at our own lives and how we follow Jesus, that again won't give us thoughts of the gift of heaven or the forgiveness of sins. Because the gospel is not How well are you following Jesus? The gospel is Jesus did very well on your behalf. And we could surrender our lives to Him in thanks and praise to God. If we could add to our salvation, you know, we would have to say to Jesus, when He said it is finished, we would have to say to Him, not quite, Lord. Let's finish the job for you. You know, we have a few things to add to what you did for us. And of course, we can't do that. We're glad to instead to just give Him praise. And Paul's preaching about the cross, for example, he said in Romans 5, 6, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So we're powerless to get ourselves to heaven. We're powerless to reconcile ourselves to God. We're stuck in our sin. But the death of Jesus sets us free. Paul said it was the power of God for the salvation of the soul. One old preacher said, you could tell that you're responding well to the gospel and the cross of Christ when burdens are lifted and you feel free to love God and love other people and give Him praise and thanks. And obedience comes as a flowing river. And you could tell when you're not responding well to the gospel and the cross, when you feel burdened and overloaded with do more, stop sinning, and start doing good. Okay, there'll be no salvation in that message. While we're still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates His own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The love of Christ at the cross. When Paul was in prison and awaiting his execution, there were times I'm sure he didn't feel like God loved him. He wanted to be out spreading the news. And yet, in spite of being alone and cold and deserted, he said in 2 Timothy, everybody deserted him. And I'm sure he was in pain from all the beatings he got for being a Christian. He said this, the Lord stood by my side, and He will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. Wow, what a message of thankfulness and assurance, even in the worst conditions of life. By the grace of God, might we have that when our days of big trials come. You know, God will rescue me from this problem and take me safe into His heavenly kingdom. And Paul remembered God's love at the cross when he wrote in Romans 8, God didn't spare His own Son. Won't God give us with Christ everything we need? A couple other life-changing verses. Paul said Jesus was obedient to death, even death on a cross. So how great the love Jesus had. Paul wanted to preach effectively. In the Corinthians, he decided not to preach with words of human wisdom or persuasive power. So he didn't want to empty the cross of its power. In other words, he was saying, what Jesus did for me is the whole point of the gospel. And I'm not going to rely on human wisdom. I'm not going to rely on persuasive words. Because he knew the power of Christ was what was in what Christ did. And when he was with Corinthians again, he decided to know only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was a message for a solid message and solid ministry. And for the Galatians, he said he didn't want to boast in anything except the cross of Christ. So when Paul thought what will I say when I get to heaven's shore? You know, Christ died for me. This poor sinner. And he knew the joy of becoming a child of God. Just a couple of hymns that express what Paul said, and then we'll close in prayer. The great substitution. In my place, condemned He stood. Sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And then this one. I lay my sins on Jesus. Often we don't know what to do with our sins. I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my sinful stains. clean in his blood, most precious, till not a spot remains. Again, the cross of Christ, the powerful cure for our sin nature. Paul would even say, well, I want to be crucified with Christ so that not only I don't live, but Christ lives in me. And then part of a song we sung, were the whole realm of nature mine, that would be a present small, far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Yeah, a great motivation for praise, gladness, and obedience to God. We sang in the Crown Hymn with Many Crowns message, may all be prayer and praise. Okay, out of our souls for what Jesus did for us. Awake our soul and sing of him who died for us. Hail him as our matchless king through all eternity. And in closing our service before we sing, just wanted to read again with you and have some brief meditation time of some of the words of Jesus at the cross as he said them on our behalf. He said them on behalf of people yet to receive the Lord. As God gathers his people one final time here late in history. But how sufficient these words are for you and me. Let's close in thoughtful prayer, please. Lord, help us hear your word and respond in faith. Thank you, Jesus. You said, Father, forgive them.